episode 76. My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
How is it going, Dave? We're back recording in the afternoons, which I think I prefer. Last week we went super long. I think our longest episode since the Last of Us spoiler cast.
Yeah, and it was super late. Like, I kind of paid for that the next day.
Yeah.
But it was worth it for Josh, like, in terms of, you know, fitting stuff around his schedule and then also with my schedule, because it was kind of like that perfect storm there where we wanted to have Josh on anyways, and in order to have Josh on, we had to record late, and then all of a sudden I had like three closes in a row, so I'm like, hey, we can do this.
It worked out, and we always say every time, I think we've only had Josh on three times in 75 episodes, so we will try to have Josh on more often, but it's really hard to get all of our schedules together, but we'll try and check in with him.
But if you're here, and maybe this is the you're listening you liked last week because Josh was on, and now you're back again this week, please consider subscribing and maybe sticking around. We will, you know, try not to go 9 months in between having Josh on, but I still think the conversation and the dynamic that Michael and myself have is good and maybe worth sticking around for. So if you can subscribe and leave a review and hang out, join the community, check the links, join Discord, join Facebook. That's all in the show notes. Feel free to check those. And as well as, like we mentioned, leaving us a review if you can and just sharing the show, like if you're enjoying it and other people maybe you might want to check it out. Retweets are always helpful. Sharing on Facebook is always helpful. And the biggest help is just giving us a review, a rating, and then writing something is always super, super helpful in terms of growing the show and growing the community. And that's the core. Like I love having a conversation with Michael, but I love the dynamic that we have with the community and the Facebook group. Discord could always be better. And then just interactions with tweets. Like I tried a little bit. I'm gonna try at least once a week to do like a poll on Twitter for something that's going on, and just to see if we can just get some more interactions and some more community involvement going on. But other than that, you are listening to Digital Days Gaming. It's a weekly podcast. We live stream Tuesday afternoons, typically at 5 o'clock, 5:30 Eastern Time, PM. As well as the show posts on all podcast services Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern time. And again, all the links are in the show notes to usually what we talk about. If there's a specific article we're talking about, like I'm sure we'll link to the Bloomberg report in the notes or some of the firmware updates in the notes. If not, then you can find them. We'll talk about them. But check the show notes out and follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming. Check and see if you have a Prime sub available. If you do, that would be super helpful for supporting the channel. It's a free way to do so. If you don't have Amazon Prime with Twitch, you can sub to us directly if you want, because we do have an affiliation with Twitch that helps us. We have a Patreon as well if you want to do that. But other than that, we're going to get into a lot of PlayStation talk this week.
We got two PlayStation stories, one Xbox story. We're diving in a little bit of rumors more than usual, but they're from sources that tend to be pretty accurate. So we're going with the little trust out on that. But the first one is a non-rumor. It's an official announcement from PlayStation. And that is the April update is coming this week. And it is bringing cold storage for PS5 games onto PS5.
April firmware.
April firmware. What did I say?
You just said April update. Like, like PlayStation doesn't update monthly. Come on.
April. That's how they put it, is PS5 April update, sir. I'm just reading a headline from PlayStation. So this is bringing extended storage to the to PS5, but it's only cold storage. And if you don't know what that term means, it means you can now put PS5 games onto an external drive to keep them stored to clear up space internally on your PS5. You can't play from there, but you can now store them there. This is a feature that's been on Xbox, but the PS5 is working with some different technology in terms of how they handle their SSD. And
this was a pet peeve that you were annoyed that wasn't at launch.
Yes, and I am super thrilled because right now my internal drive has about 80 gigs left and my external only has like 200 gigs left, but this should help me balance things out.
And again, it helps you because you have a data cap. I don't have a data cap. So I'm of the like, oh, I'll just delete and re-download. Like I just did it this week with like two games. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. I kick it off either from my phone or went overnight and I just don't even care. But for you, this is a big deal. Like if, you know, maybe as an example, Sarah takes a break from Final Fantasy for 2 weeks, you can move it over to cold storage to the external. And then when she decides she wants to play again, you can move two things over and bring the game back. Yeah,
and with your shaky internet, this will help you out because you've had some internet outages over the last couple months.
Don't try to justify my position.
So this, again, this isn't the internal M.2 storage. They said that's still coming. They're still working on it, which scares me that they're like, we're still working on it.
Yeah, you can't play any PS5 game off this drive, but it is faster than deleting and downloading again.
They do say there are limitations on it. The limitations that they put is super speed USB 5 gigabits per second down. That's just basically USB 3.0. If your hard drive is USB 3.0, you should be fine. And then there's a 250 gig.
If it's blue, if your port is blue,
you're fine.
You should be fine.
Unless you got a janky Amazon Basics cord that might not be legitimate, you're fine. There is a 250 gig minimum for the external storage, and it's 8 terabyte maximum for the external storage.
Which I believe was the max external on PS4 in the
I believe so.
By the time it was ended.
Odd thing is, though, you can't get updates to those games that are on cold storage. They will get their updates as soon as you bring it over to the internal storage, which kind of makes sense because the patches have to copy data.
I thought it said that it could do updates, but maybe not. Maybe because it's not seeing the game on the drive physically, so it doesn't know to ping it.
So I believe that is the case.
There's actually a really cool feature in here that I'm actually more looking forward to than the cold storage. Hopefully that you'll get to.
Cross-generation SharePlay is now being implemented. So SharePlay...
Don't care. SharePlay runs like trash.
It runs well enough for some people. Yeah. This allows, if you're in a party with PS5 people or in a party with a PS4 person, you can now share the screen with them so they can either watch or take control of it so PS4 people can play a PS5 game through SharePlay, which is streaming. It works well enough. It's not the most ideal way to play, but it was like a fun gimmick to test games out in some instances.
So I understand that I'm like reaching way far when I make this statement, but explain to me how if I'm on PS5 and I'm playing, let's say Astrobot, okay? And you're on PS4 and you want to check it out. And I'm like, sure, no problem. Like, we'll do SharePlay. You can just check it out really quick. Why is your DualShock 4 working in a PS5 game? And why can't my DualShock 4 work if I wanted to use it? Or my SCUF? Or, you know, like...
It must emulate it. But I wonder if a game like that won't work properly because it requires everything to do it.
The haptic feedback.
Because the adaptive triggers, you can turn off and play Astro without the adaptive triggers. So it might just default to turning off those.
Yeah, modes. I mean, maybe Astro is not the best example, but like pretty much any PS5 only game won't let you, if you're playing a game in PS5 mode on PS5, you can't use a DualShock 4. You have to use a DualSense. Mm-hmm. But now you can share play it. So it's just one of those things where I hope by the end of the year, that they figure out a way, because some people spent some serious cash on some of these controllers.
My Astro controller is an expensive controller. We you know, gotten that for review, but I kind of miss that controller. But at the same time, when I do pick that controller up, it does feel kind of weird because I got so used to the DualSense and the Series X controller.
But I think that Astro controller sold really well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that, you know, and not that I want to go down this deep rabbit hole, but even just the ability for people that need special features to play games, like, you know, adaptiveness, the adaptive controllers that they built. Evo Controllers does a great job of like putting triggers or putting face buttons on the bottom of the controller because maybe your fingers can't reach that high, you're missing a finger, you know, you have a disability, anything. And those don't work on PlayStation 5 at all.
Yeah, they're going to have to do some more work. Maybe this leads to them finding a way to do that. I mean, famously, I think it was in the PS3 era, fight sticks weren't working, or it was an early PS4 era, and then someone from Naughty Dog figured out how to get the fight sticks to work cross-gen.
Flick the switch!
Yeah, so maybe we'll get to that point where someone at one of the Sony studios will figure out, like, oh, this is too super easy, we can do this, and it's not just like an arbitrary, like, we want you to buy the new thing sort of scenario. The other thing that I put on here that I thought was good is better game base to allow you to easily go to friends and parties, because I hate game base now. I don't interact with it at all because there's too many clicks into what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, finding a friend is terrible. Like adding a friend or finding somebody is terrible. If you have the stuff set up, like I've got a couple, two or three groups or parties that I interact with when I'm playing games, like they're there, and as long as like they're right at the top, so like that's fine. Yeah. But if you have like more than five or six groups, or you're trying to like invite somebody through the party menu, like that's just awful.
One thing I'm happy about, customizing your game library, it looks like you can hide games, which is very helpful, because the
especially with the moving back and forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But especially because I feel like the PS5 is horrible at telling you what game you're looking at. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but I had to download the PS5 Final Fantasy 14, and it was a little confusing trying to be like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm downloading the PS5 one, or am I downloading PS4 one? This should help when I have to re-download stuff, of just like, okay, I'm just gonna hide this game so I only get the latest one, or get rid of all those betas.
Yeah,
because I know if you go into some games that you did a beta for, you click the three dots on that game and it'll give you like, oh, here's the alpha, here's the beta, here's the PS5, here's the PS4, and then that's the same thing in your library. You go to your library and you see like four different ones of your games, and the PlayStation doesn't do the best job of telling you which one you're looking at, so being able to just go in there and manually hide stuff would be super helpful for that. The thing I'm excited about is the customizing of the trophy screenshot and video capture, so you can set to which ones actually get the screenshot or video captured, because of the limited storage, if you have more than one user on your PlayStation 5 and you play games frequently, that all adds up to a lot of data taken up, because it takes a 15-second video.
If you just run through a game like Spider-Man or something like that, and you're playing through it on a weekend, like every time you complete a quest or a storyline, like it pops a trophy. Every time you swing so many feet in the air, it pops a trophy. Every time you punch so many people in the face, it pops a trophy. And like you said, that adds up. And then, you know, my situation, if my son's playing, you know, another game, like he's playing hockey or football, like, the, you know, and then if it's, yeah, like, so now, like, I think what did we determine like a couple weeks ago that, when I played through Spider-Man Remastered and Miles Morales, I think I earned something like 104 trophies.
They're like 50, 60 trophies. Well, or in my case, where when I transferred the data from the PS4 Spider-Man to the PS5 Spider-Man, it popped all those trophies, and then it gave it like a 7 or 15 second video for each of them, which only was the main menu. I think you can disable the video completely, but sometimes I like those videos that they capture when it's like a cool moment. Especially developers, at least the PlayStation developers, try and make it worthwhile because they know the video is going to capture, so it's not just like the trophy popping on a blank screen, which would happen a lot previously. Right,
which happens in other loading screens. Yeah.
So sometimes you get really good videos off a gold or platinum trophy, so be able to customize that to where I'm not just, you know, all the garbage bronze trophies that are just like, you walk 10 feet trophy. I could just disable those and save some storage space.
You pressed X.
which we definitely have seen. Was that what you were excited about, or what is the thing you were excited about from this?
The thing that I was most excited about from this is the ability to adjust individuals' volume in party chat.
Okay, yeah, that is a nice feature. As someone who's antisocial, I don't really interact with the party system because I hate the party system in the PlayStation.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the party system in general. It sounds better than game chat, which is the main reason that we use it. You run into situations where somebody has like a really quiet mic, or for some reason somebody's like farther away from their mic and they maybe need to be turned up, and you're trying to get the balance of the game and the party chat, especially if you're doing something with like 4, 5, 6 people. You know, there's just a lot of dynamic to that. And now the ability, similar to what already Discord does, which is a cool feature where you can actually individually turn people up or down based on like if they have a really, you know, sensitive microphone, or if they're a really loud talker, or you know, or vice versa, they're a quiet talker. You know, like this is a good thing.
So. Yeah. So this is, I think, coming out this week, or it's already out right tomorrow.
Yeah, like Wednesday. Yeah. If you're watching on live, it's tomorrow. If you're listening to it, it came out yesterday.
Yeah, so you're all good. I'm looking forward to this. It shows progress. The cold storage is huge for someone like me who wants to download a bunch of games but doesn't want to delete stuff. I stopped playing Avengers. I don't want to delete it. Like, you know, so I'll move it to cold storage. And then when I get the energy or time, I'll hop back on that. Because right now, like, I prefer playing games on my PS5, but any third-party next-gen game I'm just getting for the Xbox just because I have storage space on that to play with.
Well, and it seems like a lot of them are running better. Just like
there's weird. It's game to game.
Yeah, they're it's not. It's not. Yeah, it's almost like you have to wait now to see. Like it's so weird. Before it was like, all right. I mean, the 360 PS3 days, it was pretty common knowledge that, you know, 70% of the third party games just ran better on 360, and then it seemed like they were running better on PS4, especially near the end of the life cycle, as people were able to optimize what was ever going on there. And then all we heard now is like, okay, PC, Xbox, and PlayStation are going to be very similar, but then like that's not what we're seeing. And not the case in every game, but there are some that you're like, why?
Well, there's weird anomalies where some Xbox games are loading faster than PlayStation games, but then you have other instances where some Xbox games just run like shit, or like not run like shit, but like their load times are bad because the PS5 SSD is being utilized properly, so the PS5 one looks better. So yeah, it's definitely a game-to-game basis on what works or not. There's not this one solution in terms of like, oh yeah, this is my machine to run everything good or well. So it's weird how that turned out, at least early going, with third-party games, of course. PlayStation first-party games exist. Xbox first-party games do not. So we have that.
Right.
So we'll see how that changes over time. All right. Let's get into the rumor reports section of our show. This first one came out in a weird way. So Kojima is reportedly, Hideo Kojima of Death Stranding, Metal Gear fame, he is apparently working with Xbox on a new game, or at least in the negotiation phase of working with Xbox. The way this story rolled out is super, super weird. Last week, a game popped up on the PlayStation blog called Abandon. First-person shooter, hyper-realistic graphics, but it was weird. No one knew too much about the developers. Blue Box, I believe, was the developer name. People immediately thought, based on the trailer and the fact that no one knows too much about this dev, that this is another Kojima tease. He did this with Metal Gear Solid 5. They made a fake development studio called Moby Dick and were pretending that the trailer that they put out for Metal Gear Solid 5 wasn't Metal Gear Solid 5, and it was revealed, haha, this studio is actually Kojima Productions. And then, of course, you have the PT one where it was like, oh, he's making a Silent Hill game. Oh, it's a Kojima game. You didn't find out until the end of the demo. So people saw this game, immediately jumped on it like, this is Kojima's next game, he has to be working on something. Jeff Grubb over at VentureBeat was like, no, that's not a Kojima game, and I know this because Kojima's currently negotiating with Xbox for an exclusive game. So that's how this got rolled into a whole thing. It makes sense from a perspective of Xbox is right now trying to attract as many big names as possible to their brand. They've been looking for in the Japanese market. That's been very important to them, but they just haven't been able to succeed in getting Japanese developers or bringing a big game that would sell in Japan. And Sony's kind of abandoned that market. Not like we're not selling in there, but they're very Western focused right now. So the negotiations are going on, it's funny, on the Kinda Funny's daily show, Jeff Grubb in the comments in their Twitch chat said that they are currently at the lawyers phase of the negotiations, where lawyers are looking over terms, and, you know, they're at a phase where it's most likely a done deal, and we will hear about this very soon. Do you have any initial thoughts or reactions to this? And before anything, this sounds like it's just a one and done deal, like Death Stranding. Doesn't sound like it's an acquisition or anything, because Kojima doesn't seem like he cares about being acquired.
I think if Kojima wanted to be purchased, he would allow air quotes PlayStation to purchase him personally. But it doesn't surprise me, because and it kind of ties into what we're going to talk about next. I feel like if Kojima went to Sony and said, I want to make another game, they said, cool, Death Stranding 2. Whether it did good, bad, or indifferent, I think that if they're going to, you know, put a bunch of stuff in, I think it would have been that. Or that Kojima went to them and maybe said he wanted to make Death Stranding 2, and they're like, no.
I think it's the latter. I think it's like Kojima knocks on PlayStation's door, Jim Ryan opens up and is like, hey, how's it going? And Kojima's like, where's Andrew House? You know, like, I don't think, when we get into it in the next story, I don't think Sony is interested in a niche game like Death Stranding anymore. They don't see Kojima as a seller.
I mean, I think it was either one. Like, I think that there was, like, there might have been a conversation if Kojima wanted to continue the Death Stranding story. I think he went to Sony and maybe said, hey, like, what do we think about this? And Sony probably told him either, you know, no. And then maybe he pitched the new, like, kind of showed, like, the new thing that they want with him. And they were probably like, hey, like, your last new thing was, like, kind of meh. Which, again, whether you agree with me or don't agree with me, it was kind of meh. Partially 50% Kojima's fault, 50% Sony's fault. The marketing around that game was awful.
But it sold well enough for, like, Kojima's comeback, and people did like it. It just wasn't necessarily your sort of thing. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like something Sony would be interested in now, based on what we'll get into in a couple minutes.
Right. But I think it could have sold tremendously better if they'd done a better job of telling people what kind of game it was or wasn't. And most of that wasn't figured out until launch. Mm-hmm. And then again, that was more of a slow burn game, which we'll kind of go into a little bit of, like, where people got their hands on it. And they're like, hey, this is actually pretty interesting. If you like this, this, and this, this is really cool. If you don't, you're going to hate it. Mm-hmm. But also, like, to your point, like you mentioned, Microsoft trying to get their foot in the door in Japan. Maybe they're letting or they're conversating with Kojima Productions of doing something that might not do super well in the US. It might do okay because it's a Kojima game, but maybe it is towards a market where they have stumbled tremendously in over the last 20 years to get a foothold at all.
The thing that I wonder how this even goes, because Death Stranding was made in part because Kojima was able to get access to, like, Guerrilla's engine. I forget what the engine is called. And previously, Kojima Productions worked on their own engine that Konami owns. I forget what that engine was called as well, but it was a proprietary engine at Konami, and then it was a proprietary engine that they worked with Guerrilla. This could be another instance where we might not see a game for a while, because now I would imagine they're not going to be getting access to the Guerrilla engine if they're going to be signing with Microsoft. So,
but it also could mean that he gets to truly do something that he wants to do, and he doesn't have to pitch it. I don't know, but he doesn't have to pitch it as, like, a worldwide selling thing. Like, he could be pitching it to Microsoft as, like, this is the audience that I'm going after, and it could be something that Microsoft's like, hey, like, that's an audience that we want to get our foot in the door with.
Yeah, no, this definitely seems like a move Microsoft would want to do with how they're running their business right now, in terms of get as many things to Game Pass as possible, get whatever names we can on Game Pass. Because,
well, and as much as people hate to hear it, like, if you want to increase your thing, like, release it on Game Pass, and then if it's Japanese centric with PC, like, they don't even have to buy the Xboxes. Yeah. They can just get the Game Pass subscription.
And also, I would imagine Kojima, you know, Death Stranding came to PC eventually. I would imagine he would have wanted to release it on PlayStation and PC at the same time, but instead they had to do a whole year apart. I know he's a small studio now. Or he's a whole studio. He's a part of a smaller studio now that they probably couldn't release it both at the same time. But on Xbox, I'm sure they would give them enough money to be like, yeah, take your time. Here's money. Do whatever you need to do. It has to release on Xbox and PC at the same time, because we want it on Game Pass on both those platforms, and negotiate basically around that. He'll probably have to switch to another engine.
Which could be less development time. Because he's maybe not working on two different versions, you know, because they're very similar architecture.
They have enough studios, and they took on all the support studios at Bethesda, so they could be like, okay, yeah, cool. You make the Xbox One, and then we're going to have our support studios because we have so fucking many now, work on the PC port, and then that'll work out better for them. So you're right. It could be like a shorter turnaround time, and they might just go with the Unreal Engine, you know, something that everyone right. knows how to use in game development. So yeah.
So I think this, I mean, I feel like in my heart and in my head too, from a business standpoint, I feel like Sony would have wanted Kojima's next thing on their platform. Was it terms that they wanted to come to? Probably not. And like, to your point, if Kojima really wants to get the best bang for his buck, it needs to be on, he needs to have the opportunity to have it on multiple platforms. So if that's the case, the easiest way right now to do it on multiple platforms is Microsoft.
And safest, to be completely honest. We're going to talk yeah. about ROI, like return on investments. The least risky thing you can do right now is put it on Game Pass, because you're going to get guaranteed money up front, and then whatever happens after that mm-hmm. is just extra.
And crazy word of mouth.
Yeah.
Like, Outriders is a living example of crazy word of mouth. The concurrent Steam players Outriders has was because of the success of Game Pass.
Yeah, I think that super helped Outriders, because I don't think Outriders is a great game. It's an okay game. It's a good game. But I think it's yeah. getting a boost from those subscribers that are playing it because they're just trying it out. But we'll see where this goes. I imagine we'll find out around E3, since, you know, this isn't part of the news cycle, but like, E3 is going to have a digital event, and Microsoft is signed up for that digital event. So maybe we'll find out there. Who knows? Maybe Kojima will then return to Sony mm-hmm. and be like, here's what they're offering me. What can you do for me? Because I think this is how Kojima is going to have to make his games from now on, is going to someone and being like,
so he's an independent developer that has to have a publisher.
Because yes. I don't think he can sure. self-publish, because he needs, based on what we saw from his Metal Gear Solid career at Konami, he kind of needs some sort of structure to work in, or else he'll go forever on development. Mm-hmm. So he needs
deadlines, whether they're get delayed or don't get delayed, but he still needs firm dates, I think, and then he needs cash up front.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he needs that up front.
Like we all do.
like he cannot have his teams fully staffed and just kind of working independently. They need a publisher. All right, Dave. I don't even know where to start for this. I put bullet points. This is the Bloomberg report from Jason Schreier, who's become a controversial figure in his reporting for whatever reason. Now I can see why, but he's a little heavy-handed. But Bloomberg put out a extensive report on the kind of current state of PlayStation in terms of how the direction they're going as a company, and some of the development woes, issues that they're going through. So there's a lot to unpack here. And this is something that I highly recommend reading Jason Schreier's report on Bloomberg to get a little bit more details. But we'll start with the Visual Arts and Service Group, led by Michael Mombir.
This super secret Sony San Diego studio.
Yes, this was the San Diego studio that we've kind of all been putting our hopes and dreams in. Of like, oh, they're doing something, they're going to work on an established franchise. So this studio has been around since 2007. They've had this name that's kind of generic, Visual Arts Service Group. They've been a support and artillery studio, as I always call them, for Sony, you know, since 2007. They work on whatever game Sony's trying to push out. They help get it out the door. Very important to have studios like this. The head of that studio at one point wanted to start developing their own games or take on a whole project, not necessarily like, oh, we want to make a new IP. It's just, we want to make a game. Yeah.
They wanted to do something start yes. to finish, not just come in and like work on, you know, map design, or come in and work on physics engines or whatever they were doing. Like, it seems like there were a lot of visual mm-hmm. stuff actually.
They like specialed in like mocap specifically.
Yeah.
So the plan that they came to was to remaster a game. The initial plan, apparently, was to remaster Uncharted, the first Uncharted game. And that turned out that was going to take a lot more work, because Uncharted is a older game. It's from 2006, 2007. And that was just going to take too much time to remaster, too much money.
It's a cell processor game that had to be rebuilt from the entirely from the ground up. Like, from completely torn down and redone.
Shooting mechanics. Like, yes, it was, like, remastered technically in the Nathan Drake collection.
They didn't change much in the collection.
This was going to be, like, a Shadow of Colossus in terms of, like, remaking the game. Basically do what Blue Point does.
They about changed as much in that Nathan Drake collection as Nintendo did in the Mario collection.
It just runs at a higher resolution, frame rate's a little better.
Yeah.
So they wanted to take like the Blue Point route of like, let us make a game from start to finish and it'll be a remastered game because it'll be more cost effective. So they ended up deciding to go with The Last of Us, the first game for the franchise. So here's the first thing. I noticed some people complaining, like, I don't know, you know, let's just get into it first before I bring up my point about this, because I've seen a lot of, like, counter arguments about this. So they were going to remake The Last of Us, a full remake, because it's a relatively new game, 2013, 2012. So it would be easier for them and faster for them to remake that game. They started the work on it, and then around the time Sony had all the heads of the company switch around, Herman Holst, who's the head of Sony Worldwide Studios, he saw it and saw it was getting expensive and it was taking a long time compared to other remakes that we're doing. Probably comparing them to like a Blue Point, because Blue Point seems to be very efficient at what they do. Mm-hmm. And decided that he would give the game, The Last of Us Remaster, back to Naughty Dog and have them work on it. Sounds like originally what happened is they just pulled people from Naughty Dog and put them on the team, which obviously is going to lead to issues when you're trying to make a game and then they put the fucking creators for that game in a meeting with you. Who is going to get more say? Like, realistically, Naughty Dog. So that started some issues, and it got to the point where Sony just were like, you know what, we're just...
Well, hold up. First of all... Any proper, I feel, in my opinion, but any proper management of this, if when that studio began working on Last of Us, they should have had somebody from Naughty Dog assigned to them from the start.
And it sounds like they just put them like halfway through, or not halfway through, but they got a section of the game done.
At a certain point in time, yeah.
If you're going to do this, you do it at the beginning, you don't do it in...
But especially if it's a new studio, this is what I've always been talking about addition versus expansion of, okay, like, take somebody that was maybe third, fourth, fifth in the hierarchy at Naughty Dog and say, hey, you know what? You want to prove that you can make a game? You want to prove you can run a team? Go here. Go help them. And you know our vision. You know our foundation of Uncharted. You've been with us for long enough that you're next in line for game director. Here's your chance. Yeah. Like, here's your chance to be like the assistant manager. Like, I'm using like a retail term of like, okay, now here's your chance to run a store for 90 days. Let's see how you do.
And then maybe we'll let you create your own studio. So this obviously led to issues to where people then just left the visual arts service group team. They were just like, you know what? We're not into this, especially after Naughty Dog got full control of the game. It was given back to Naughty Dog, and then people bailed out because they're just like, they wanted to do something from start to finish. They did start something, and then they were told, go back to what you were doing before. I can see why people would leave, because that's a little demoralizing, because then you're just like, okay, I guess we're back to doing this. So people left. That company is still around. They're just a support studio now. I did see some people on like Reddit, on Twitter, say, oh, because the article makes it almost sound like the Visual Arts Service Group took it upon themselves to make The Last of Us Remaster, like they did it without permission, and then they were stopped because Sony and Naughty Dog were like, what are you doing? A development studio does not do a move like that in secret and then are just like, hey, look what we've been working on secretly. I'm sure they're micromanaged enough that Sony would have had to approve. They're not going to let them just quietly waste resources.
Yeah, they're not going to just keep writing a 2-week paycheck to a company and not know what's going on. Like to however many employees were in the 100, 200, whoever was in this office building somewhere. Yeah.
So what most likely happened is Sony management was like, okay, this is getting expensive. This isn't going quite how we wanted. What would be the best way to handle this? Oh, let's give it to the developers who made it and see what they can do. So that studio that was a secret San Diego studio, we saw, was it 2 years ago? They're like, we're working on a franchise, an established franchise, and we want to do improvements and whatever. They were talking about The Last of Us. So no idea exactly what's going on with the people that left, but the Uncharted or the Last of Us remaster is being worked on apparently still to this day, which makes sense because there's an HBO show coming in like 2 years. Mm-hmm. So of course Sony would want to do what they tried to do with the Ratchet and Clank 2016 game, because there's a movie coming out for that. It just didn't turn out well. So marketing, this makes sense. HBO probably even suggested it, of just like, you know, it'd be good. You release a video game to tie in with this TV show. Any thoughts on this section of the story, Dave?
I don't want to last.
I don't either. It's
so I'm sorry. Like it's I okay. Well, I take it back. Let me rephrase that. I don't want Naughty Dog doing a Last of Us remake, because now you're going to get into more of it later with the Schreier article. But so now Naughty Dog's making the Last of Us remake, remastered, redo, whatever you want to call it. They're still supposedly working on this multiplayer function game. Mm-hmm. And in the Schreier article through Bloomberg, it sounds like Uncharted 5 is a thing. So doing the timetable, like, okay, this factions, whatever, alleged, you know, multiplayer mode or whatever separate game they're bringing out is probably first. Last of Us Remastered is second, to maybe hopefully tie into the show, like you had said. And then Uncharted 5. So we're out to like 2025, 2026 before Naughty Dog says something new.
I know, especially like I understand The Last of Us is aged, but if we go through it, The Last of Us was remastered for PS4.
What is Blue Point doing? Give it to them.
Like, but if we go through it, like I don't feel like The Last of Us game from 2013 needs a remake. I know Sony financially it just makes sense, because again, this article is a little heavy handed with like Sony's. They're very focused on return on investment. No shit, they're a video game company. They're gonna be focused on return on investment, but they are playing it safe where they're like doubling down on like their franchises that sell a lot, and then they're for their other studios that don't sell as much, they're working on remakes of games that sold a lot. So
okay, give it to Bend,
and we'll just get to Bend right now.
Like Bend did an Uncharted game. Mm-hmm. Like,
and they were doing one until that got.
They were helping.
Okay, so that's where the thing I noticed, where it's like, I understand why Sony is very avoiding risks right now, because they're selling really well. I hate it that they're not taking risks anymore, because that's the thing that I feel like made them is taking risks. We saw.
It's what you and Josh were talking about with late in caring. Yeah. Like it's exactly what Josh was talking about, it of somebody in the top that cares about the experience for a player. Like, yeah, like, are you in the business to make money? No shit. Yeah. like that's going to happen. There's ways to do that. But I think that the management of resources, and at its core, like I'll just get it off my chest right now. At its core, the thing that I'm most concerned about from this Bloomberg report is the management style that appears to be going on in PlayStation Studios.
It's getting very factory assembly line. And why that will be good on selling consoles, I feel like it's going to lead to the thing that I've been complaining about for probably a year now. They only make third person, like open-ish world games. And it's just...
Well, how long are they going to take? The core of what we can talk about here when we start digging into Days Gone's success being a profitable game is it took too fucking long to make it. Ghost of Tsushima took too long. It just, and the only difference right off the gate is Ghost sold better out the door because it was marketed and better than Days Gone.
The critical reception seems to be very important to Sony.
Yes.
Because...
But the critical reception of Days Gone could have been better if you knew what the hell kind of game it was before it came out. It's almost in the same camp as Death Stranding. I was sitting there going, I don't understand what Days Gone really is. Oh, I'm using a gun and shooting a bunch of things that aren't zombies.
Yeah. I totally see that point, but it's just fascinating to see the direction they're going with their marketing, their studios. And it's scary as a longtime PlayStation fan who loves that brand. I hate saying I love a brand, but I say that and fucking shit's all around me. It's just PlayStation and video games. But to see them be like a company that produced like really original stuff to being a company that's like, we're only doing safe bets. I almost feel like PlayStation's turning into like an EA, you know, like where they're like making money, but there's like three brands or three franchises that they work with. And there's nothing wrong with that. But
if they can get the factory style cookie cutter thing down, like maybe this will work. But when you look back at the recent last 10 years, and I'm probably getting ahead on your bullet points. I don't have the document in front of me. I'm sorry. It's on a different screen. If I'm getting ahead of the bullet points, is that Sony Ben did Uncharted Golden Abyss and then Days Gone. And that's been essentially like the last 12 years.
Yes. They did 1886, right?
Sucker Punch. No, that was Ready at Dawn.
I forget Ready at Dawn exists. Sorry.
Yeah. So... then same example, Sucker Punch did Infamous Second Son at launch of the PS4 and then essentially Ghost of Tsushima at launch of the PS5. Yeah. Like one game a generation? That's not enough.
No, it definitely for a company that is trying to get as efficient as possible. But the thing is, like, everything that they're doing, they almost feel like a company that is hurting for money with how they're trying to like cut out like the originality of stuff, but there.
I have a theory on that.
What is your theory? Because like right now, I'm just like flabbergasted of just like, why are you acting like you're not the best selling console and your video games sell bajillions of copies now?
I think Jim Ryan is getting tremendous pressure from Sony Corporation to continue to be the thing that holds the entire company.
You think they're showing them charts of like, this company's kind of in the red, this company's in the red, this company's in the green?
No, I think PlayStation is falling under the and again, this will be a little bit of a retail term of like the best guy doing well, of like, okay, like, so like that's, I'll just use you and I as an example. We both sell wicker baskets, and for whatever reason, you have the gift of gab and you can sell 10 a day and I only sell 5 a day, so we do this for an entire year. You're outselling me 2-1. You're better. So then all of a sudden your yearly review comes up, your goal is to sell 16 a day and my goal is to sell 7.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do to get to 16? You're going to keep doing the same thing that you were doing and just trying to streamline it better. And it's because I have to hit this goal. If I don't hit this goal, I don't get my bonus.
Yeah.
Like I don't get my money. And I think that the like you're talking about return on investment, I feel Sony, because PlayStation brand is holding up the entire Sony division in profits. And he's just getting pressure for the companies like more money,
The problem that we're having from that, though, is they're like, okay, how are we going to make more money? Naughty Dog's doing really well. Okay. Visual Arts, you're working on an Uncharted remaster, a Last of Us remaster, because that's a Naughty Dog thing. Okay. Sony Bend, you're working on Last of Us multiplayer and Uncharted 5. Okay. And they're just like spreading Naughty Dog's successful franchises across all these studios.
And then... the problem that I talked about earlier with the mismanagement of your assets is the concern of what we heard from the Bloomberg article or Schreier's article, whichever one you want to call it, is that Sony Bend was worried that they were going to be absorbed into Naughty Dog. Whether Jeff Ross in his Jaffe interview said that was or wasn't going to happen, again, from the retail standpoint, I go personally to other stores within my company to help them do certain things. There are certain things in this company that I do very well. And very, very efficiently for, you know, where my DMs or my regionals are like, hey, you know what? This needs to be done and this needs to be done this week. Send Dave. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be done. And it'll be done safely, properly, correctly, the whole night. There is never a fear in my mind of my current store manager that I'm not coming back. Mm-hmm. He or she is just like, all right, he's gone for like 3 or 4 days. They're annoyed. They're irritated with it. I'm annoyed. I'm irritated with it because the person I'm going to is going to be, you know, is a situation that I don't necessarily want to help. And they're going to have their own agenda. But I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm here to do ABC and I'm out. There's never the fear of like, I'm going to lose. My store manager's like, I'm going to lose Dave. Yeah. Like,
but if you're
I can be lost at any time based on my regional direction anyways. But there's like that in my mind, I'm not like, oh, I'm like, OK, I'm leaving Farmington and I'm going back to Troy and I'm never going to see Farmington again. And that seems to be the perception of these Bend people are like, oh, do we work for Bend or do
and
we work for Naughty
Dog? Also the fear of just like if your whole store was told, hey, we're transferring to this other thing, you would realize, well, they don't need all of us. and then you'd get into cuts there. All right, but let's jump into Bend. Okay, so Bend immediately after Days Gone came out, pitched Days Gone 2, but they failed to get Days.
Well, it sounds like Days Gone 2 was kind of started development very early on near the end of Days Gone 1 based on that Ross interview.
Yeah, but he also made it sound like he was still in the pitch phase. So I'm sure. Yeah.
Which, is, again, it's not uncommon. Yeah. They probably were working on two or three things like we talked about before.
So Bend pitched Days Gone 2. Sony didn't see, or PlayStation, whatever you want to call them, it's the same thing. They didn't see the return on investment because Days Gone had mixed critical reviews and the development cycle was really lengthy. For what they got on a return on investment. Jeff Ross did say the game was profitable, but Sony now is at that spot where profitable isn't good enough when other games are selling like crazy. Like they see what The Last of Us sells, what Ghost of Tsushima saw, and then if Days Gone is just a little profitable, that's not good enough. So they pitched Days Gone 2. That didn't work. So instead, Sony was told them that they're going to be working on The Last of Us multiplayer, and they're working on a new Uncharted game. And that's when you mentioned earlier, there was fear that they were just going to be absorbed into Naughty Dog and Sony Bend would be no more. It would just be Naughty Dog North or whatever. I forget where Bend is. I think it's Washington?
Naughty Dog North is fine. They're in Oregon. Yeah. So they're actually in Bend, Oregon.
I didn't know that was a city. So they were put on that. They actually made a request within the last couple months to be taken off the Uncharted game, and Sony granted that, and now they're working on a new IP. So that's good news. Like, they were told, they asked to be off the Uncharted game, and Sony was at least willing to just be like, you know what, okay, work on your new IP. They probably already had something like in the oven, so to speak, that they had to put on hold because they were going to do a new Uncharted game. So they basically got told, work on that new thing. You're not working on Uncharted. It makes it sound like they're still working on The Last of Us multiplayer, but of course that is led by Naughty Dog, their support for that aspect. In a follow-up, the director for Days Gone was on David Jaffe's YouTube channel show and talked about they pitched multiplayer, like co-op, and a shared universe for Days Gone 2. That wasn't approved. Jeff Ross is under a lot of NDAs and legal stuff, so he wasn't able to say, like, Days Gone 2 was killed, but most likely if the director of the game who pitched it then leaves the studio, there's a chance that the game was rejected. A lot of people were using...
I would love to see this man's NDA when you resign from a studio. I would love to see that.
He was able to like skirt around some things. People were using this David Jaffe interview to like shoot down the stuff that was in Schreier's article. But Jeff Ross came out on Twitter like shortly after the thing and said, Jason Schreier is a journalist who is not under like any legal terms, so he can speak more freely. So basically saying like, yeah, Jason Schreier's stuff is true. There are more details that he might be missing, but me as someone who has those details, I am legally not allowed to speak, you know, because
plus he wants another job.
Yeah, he's currently working with NetherRealm, but he definitely has to, you know, skirt around, you know, he can't like endorse anything Schreier like said specifically, but he can say what he said.
I was actually shocked that he went on the show. Like as soon as he with the close departure to when he left, like that he and then I listened to a good portion of the interview. In the beginning of the interview, like I thought, like, oh, like him and Jaffe like go way back, and they really didn't know each other. So it was really like I don't understand the motives behind this. Like,
yeah, I think he just wanted to talk about like he was trying for Days Gone too. But he does say he didn't leave because Days Gone 2 was, you know, declined.
Bullshit.
That was one of those things where I'm just like, no, like, it probably got canceled and you're just like, well, I'm not doing this anymore. Or he was afraid of what we heard in an article of people having to get absorbed by Naughty Dog.
Yeah, and he said in the interview that they were happy to help. Yeah, of course you're happy to help. You're in between games. You're trying to keep your people employed. Like, you're, of course you're going to be, you know, doing what your corporation tells you to do. Like, bottom line, like the example I used before, like, if even if I didn't want to leave the current store or location that I'm in, if my boss's boss says, this is where you work now, like, oh, that's where I work.
Yeah. But if you're a creative, there's only so much you want to help out before you're like, I want to do my own thing. And that's where the studios
as a head, yes. Like the development team, the people that are helping with like making sure the Last of Us connections.
Yeah, yeah.
That stuff is working. Those are all like, and I'm not demeaning the developer. Like, these are coder guys. These are number punchers, number crunchers, and server connectors, and making sure that the frame rate and the lag doesn't, you know, destroy it. Like, it's kind of the same thing that they're doing on other games. But in terms of the person that gets to maybe decide like how the story arc goes, or
the
what
writers,
the gameplay mechanic,
the artists,
is gonna be, or,
yeah, the sound,
yeah,
people,
how deep, how, like how much of a focal point the motorcycle is. Like, those were Ross's decisions. Yeah. So
this is the whole thing. So basically, the whole Bloomberg article is just talking about how like people are leaving Sony because of some of the decisions that are being made. I feel like the article was a little bit more negative than I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like, I feel like the article was very negative, but
he instead of throwing a lot of little jabs, he threw some pretty heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the problem I have with the article, but it's,
at the core, that's the problem I have with Schreier in general, is that he likes to throw big punches. And those punches, when they land, they knock somebody out. When they don't, they look really bad. Like, and it's the same example I'm going to use in this conversation of Sony focusing on the blockbusters. That's great. You can make a living in Major League Baseball just walking up to the plate and hitting home runs and then striking out, because one out of 10 at bats is going to be a home run, and you'll make a ton of money doing that, but you're going to strike out 100 times in a season. The problem in the video game world is that, a broad, crazy example, if Uncharted 5 fails, isn't critically acclaimed, like, what does that mean for Naughty Dog right now? Like, yeah, they're probably protected because of what they've been able to accomplish over the last couple of years, but we can kind of see like they allowed Ben to kind of do their own thing, and they made Ben made them money. It probably took too long, but Ben made them money, and they're like, yeah, you don't get to do a second one.
Well, it's briefly talked about in a Schreier article of just like Sony, like, what I fear for, the Naughty Dogs, the Insomniacs, the Sucker Punch, to probably a little bit lesser extent, they're fine. They'll be safe. They're bulletproof. Like, they would probably get a couple bad games before Sony's like, we got to do something. I think you'd let them go crazy. What makes me worried is, like, the Media Molecules. You know, Dreams kind of was released, and it felt like Sony didn't really care if it failed or succeeded.
Well, that's another studio that didn't release something during the PS4 generation.
But the thing is, with Media Molecule, is what makes them special is they're the studio that gets to take risks and do wild and interesting things. Under this current regime, will they want Media Molecule to take an entire generation to make a weird, quirky game?
Or does Jim Ryan tell them to make Little Big Planet 4?
Or does he just tell him, like, we're not really getting much from this, let's move on? That worries me, because I think a Media Molecule is important. Jason Schreier in his article is just like, Roblox is a $1 billion company where you make your, you know, like, where that's built on people making their own games. Could Dreams have hit Roblox? No, but with a little bit of effort, maybe Dreams could have been advertised a little bit more.
That's the same problem you've been talking about with a third-person adventure game. And Sony doesn't have the weekly seasonal sign-in game,
and Dreams could have been something like that, but it just they kind of just released Dreams,
and not that I want to connect it all to this, but this is exactly why 7 years ago they jumped all over Bungie shit.
Well,
because they got the exclusive, it wasn't theirs, but it pretty much was, because the Activision deal and the exclusive content that was in there, but them signing that deal with Activision and Destiny helped catapult the PS4 sales over the terrible launch of the Xbox One. But it was one of those things over, like, that game, you know, required an investment into the system. There are people in the world right now that are waiting, that will wait until Uncharted 5 comes out to buy a PS5.
Yeah.
Or until this Ratchet and Clank comes out to buy a PS5. And you know, they don't, not that they ever will, they don't have the Fortnite, they don't have the Rocket League, they don't have the, you know, any of like the, these, like even like the Call of Duty, like they don't have the thing that brings you to PlayStation. Microsoft doesn't have it either. They're trying to get it with Halo, with the free-to-play multiplayer and the seasonal content, but they don't have it. I mean, I guess they do have it with Minecraft.
Yeah, but they bought Minecraft. I'm sure they already got their return on investment, right. But they like had to buy Minecraft after Minecraft had probably already technically peaked, you know? My whole fear is I feel like every generation, it's just the two big manufacturers, you know, like Nintendo does Nintendo, but like Sony and Microsoft seem to switch roles every other generation. The thing that got PlayStation where it was for the PS4 was that hunger that we saw in the PS3, where Microsoft on the 360 era is like, all right, we got Halo, Gears, and then released Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4, Halo Reach. And then Gears was Gears 1, Gears 2, Gears 3, Gears Judgment, Gears 5 eventually.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, here's the big problem, though. Okay, so Insomniac Games, Ratchet and Clank and Spider-Man, mm-hmm. right? Guerrilla, Horizon. I'm reading off PlayStation-owned studios. I never even heard of this one. Pixel
That's
Opus?
The Concrete Genie. They're relatively new to their thing, but Concrete Genie was their game.
Okay. Sucker Punch, who knows what? Another, what, 3 years before we see something from them?
Potentially, yeah.
London Studio. Last thing I remember them doing some VR
that's,
stuff,
and
right?
That's what they're currently working on now is VR 2 yep. stuff.
San Diego Studio is yep. baseball. And also what caused some huge leadership changes and people losing their jobs was the Drawn to Death and the other...
The
other free-to-play games they were trying
to do. Yeah, they were
some
more artillery Japan, like in that aspect.
Japan Studio closed. Media Molecule, nothing in PS4.
Well, Dreams, technically.
I guess yeah. Dreams, but yeah. Sony Santa Monica, God
and
of
apparently
War,
a new IP. Right They're now. Apparently working on a new IP along with God of War, but we don't know how long that's going to be.
I'm probably going to say this name wrong. Polyphony Digital?
Polyphony. That's Gran Turismo.
Polyphony, yeah. Gran Turismo. Long time.
Yeah, Sport was these games 3-4 years, 2017, 2016.
Evolution Studios.
What are Evolution Studios? No, Evolution's gone, isn't it? Evolution was Drive Club.
Okay, yeah. I'm just saying, like, if Sony owns, and then San Mateo Studio, are they gone too?
I believe that's another, I think they might be gone.
They're partnering, it looks like they're partnering with Insomniac, actually.
Yeah, because Insomniac is two studios, and then, I believe.
Yeah, and then SIE Worldwide Studios.
Yeah, which is just the umbrella term that works on stuff.
Yeah. That's PlayStation.
And again, what scares me is just like they're kind of going into the same thing that 360 did before they got to the Xbox One, which didn't work out for them, where they focused on mm-hmm. two or three franchises and then just ran those franchises as far as they could until eventually they didn't sell.
Right. Now again, you've got Housemarque doing stuff for you directly. You've got that new studio that the young lady from Stadia that just left Stadia started in Montreal.
Which is, sounds like a one and done deal potentially.
Right. But maybe they're going to use AA studios to take their risks. And yeah, that's fine.
But I would prefer if it was the PS3 era where all their studios were like, we're just going to do stuff. And they just did stuff and they threw a bunch of ideas out there as opposed to now where it's just like, here's our latest third world. Basically the problem I have with Ubisoft, you know, like Ubisoft sells. But
I'm an advocate of, I think, like, I know I've sat here and like pounded the table about new innovative games and IPs, but I think in a scenario of like, I'm probably gonna get some shit for this. So God of War on PS4, I feel like is a new IP compared to what you played, the trilogy on PS3. It's the same name, but the game is completely different, okay? So, like, what they're doing, the trilogy that Corey Barlog wants to tell, I'm interested in, I'm invested in. Days Gone 2, I feel, would have done tremendously better than Days Gone 1 because the world they built and the story that they wanted to tell. It's cool they're doing a new IP, but what if it's, like, another, like, the we don't know what the hell it is kind of thing that's going to get marketed terrible?
Or it's going to take forever because they have to start from scratch. Using Days Gone as their base to make Days Gone 2 probably would have worked out better. And to be honest, Days Gone story wasn't that great, but Metacritic, I think, was still in, like, the the 70s? I'd have to look it up.
76, 77, I think they said, yeah. I want Uncharted 5, but I also kind of want to see what Naughty Dog else can do, but I don't want to wait until I'm 50 to play it.
So, like, yeah, so Metacritic for Days Gone, not the best metric for this, was 71, okay? Uncharted 1 wasn't a perfect 10 when that came out. It built into the perfect 10 with the iterations that they made. Or, you know, like the second one was like the perfect 10.
Well, there's a case, yeah, about to say, there's a case to be made that 2 is the best, yes, out of all of them.
You're telling me Days Gone, which got a 71 because the game had its problems and had some story issues, couldn't have been refined with the sequel that probably could have got it up there a little bit more and probably would have been more cost efficient.
What's the user score, 8.3, though? Like, does Metacritic do a user?
8.3, because the fan base for Days Gone is like very passionate. Like, they champion that game.
But they patched the hell out of the game. They patched the hell out of the game,
It had a tail.
It's just, you know, like... But the problem, like, even me, as somebody that didn't, like, you reviewed it. Yeah. Yeah. You reviewed Days Gone. I didn't review it, obviously. I own it, but the listening to you the first time that you reviewed it, like, a week before it came out or the week it came out, I don't remember. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to wait. And then, you know, it kind of went to the bottom of the pile. And then I heard, like, some people are like, hey, it's really good. I'm really it really gets going. It's a good thing and a bad thing. But it really gets going after, like, the 30-hour mark. I'm like, shit.
Because people didn't know it was that type of game.
Right. And, you know, it's definitely on my list of stuff I want to play. But, like, right now, just something else just grabs my attention because I'm like, okay, that's there. And I know it's there. And I know it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
But when it first comes out and people are, like, so hung up on review scores of what you played, like, I don't think you felt bad about the score you gave it at the time.
No, I think I gave it a 7.
Is that the same score you would have given it? Is that the same score you would have given it 6 months later?
It probably would have crawled to, like, a 7.5 to an 8 because, like, I had a lot of technical issues. I think the story was still kind of iffy.
In my mind, that means that maybe the next game, the sequel, could have been 8.5.
And then built into one of their marquee franchises. Maybe that wouldn't have done it, but it could have. Like, who's to say? It couldn't have turned into that, but
now they're going to get to do a brand new
thing.
And
start again.
And like you said, they're going to start from scratch again. We're running into the same issue right now. Like, all this, like, Destruction All-Stars marketed awful.
Yeah.
He's gonna bark at me in the chat. Rezogun. That game comes out in like 2 weeks. Returnal. Sorry. Rezogun. Same thing. No. Returnal comes out like in 2 weeks. Does anybody know it?
Outside of us who are video game fans that are crazy. Probably not. Like, if I go into my friend Discord.
The first new PS5 only game that you can play, not a remaster, not a remake, completely new franchise, comes out in 20 days or whatever it is. Nobody knows outside of the people that are paying attention or watching these events live when they happen.
If I go into my friend chat on my Discord server, me and like 6 of my friends have a Discord server. If I ask them, like, hey, anyone gonna pick up Returnal? I guarantee most of them be like, what's that? And they play video games frequently. Like, they're really into video games, but they probably don't know what Returnal is. So we're going to have to hope Returnal reviews well so then it can have a long tail. But I don't know if Returnal is going to set the world on fire day one sales wise because I haven't really seen too much marketing. But I can see Returnal, if it does well, man, we got to change Moobot.
But like a quick poll on the Facebook group, 7 people voted on it, are waiting for a sale. 5 people aren't getting it. 3 people are getting it day one, and 1's waiting on a review. That's a small sample. It's only been up for a couple of days. A lot of you have seen it and didn't vote on it, jerks. And it's similar on the Twitter polls as well. It's like, and these are people that are ingrained in the community. We're talking about it. Like, I mess with them, but it's all in fun. Like, Dave from Philly is, you know, always talking to us about Returnal. And like, in my mind, like, I mentioned it to Angela today. Like, I think I need to buy this game because I want to be part of the conversation. I want to play something new on my PlayStation. And I want to see what it's about. But I'm kind of in the same camp that I was with about Days Gone and Death Stranding. Like, what the hell is it?
It's a third-person roguelike shooter that looks pretty. Yeah, Dave's not going to like it. Dave doesn't really like too many games. I don't think you're going to get into that unless there's loot. But yeah, no, I can see there's confusion on like what it is. And I've been watching sports again because baseball and basketball. Mm-hmm. I haven't really seen any Returnal ads or anything that's like, hey, this is the next big game from PlayStation. Or, you know, coming exclusive to PlayStation.
I'm not seeing the little 15-second ads for it in the front of the YouTube videos I watch.
I see ads for PlayStation Plus games for this month, but I am not seeing any, hey, Returnal's coming out, which is worrisome. All right, we've probably spent enough time on this target, on this topic. It's fascinating stuff. I love talking about stuff like this. I feel like that's what people come to the show for, is to get our hot takes on this stuff, especially when a rumor and reports like this from like credible sources.
But I know I'm of the advocate of like new, take a risk and innovative stuff. I want to see that. But at the same time, like I understand they did it with Days Gone. Like they took a risk with Days Gone. They got to do something same but different. Like it's
still
a zombie game,
whether
you want it to be a zombie
game
or not be a zombie game. Right. You know, you're using the motorcycle to do stuff. They were trying to tell a cool story. You know, and it kind of fell a little flat and maybe hit with a little thud and then started kind of rolling down the hill and got bigger. Like, and that's fine. And I feel like if Layden was in charge, he would have been okay with it. And I think that Ryan just doesn't think that he needs to be okay. Ryan's not okay with it. And that's why it's not getting the next game. But like, it's very, you know, concerning to me of like, you know, we used to make fun of Square Enix when they released the Tomb Raider figure and said how many copies it sold and said it wasn't a success. There's speculation and guessing as Days Gone sold like roughly around 5 million copies on, you know, a platform that what are we looking at? 150 million PlayStation 4s?
120 maybe? I don't know. I'd have to look. But still,
like that's a pretty good attach
for
rate.
A new IP and all that stuff. I think PlayStation is focused on that critical reception a lot too. Like if they don't get a dozen awards for a game.
So let me ask you this, because I was having a conversation with a couple of people about this. Do you have faith that Naughty Dog can pull off this monthly signed multiplayer game?
Well, I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's just going to be a multiplayer game. I don't think they're trying to do like a games as a service sort of experience. They're not trying to make the next Fortnite.
Do you think Sony needs a games as a service?
No, I don't. It would be cool. They need a free-to-play game, maybe.
I think Sony Corporation is looking at Fortnite and says, I want 30% of that. Find me something that gives us 30% of that.
How they're doing it is they're investing in Epic. They just put another $250 million into Epic Games. I think that's what they see.
No, I know that, but I get that, but I mean, it's the same thing we talk about with EA. EA's like, is it making FIFA money? We don't want it. But then they've kind of changed it. Like, it takes two, and that what they've been doing with these like these other devs is going well.
There's nothing that Sony has done or planned that makes me think they're trying to get that Fortnite money.
And don't get me wrong, the Uncharted 3 multiplayer was solid. The Last of Us multiplayer was great. It just doesn't have legs. It just it has this, you know, 4 to 6 month, if that, trend where everybody's playing it, and you know, and then it just something new comes out and they just move on.
I think Sony's fine for that, you know, as long as they're single player stuff, because that is the
But how much are they get, like, so where is Factions going to come from? Is it going to just be an add-on?
I wouldn't be surprised if it turns into a free-to-play or a standalone game that you have to pay money for, but like I don't see them trying to, like,
because I automatically get BioWare Anthem terrifying pictures in my head.
I at this point I feel like they would have to release it as a free-to-play game, because to be fair, there's probably a fair amount of people that played The Last of Us The Last of Us Part 2 that already like traded in their disc, you know, as games get more expensive, people are probably trading in stuff more. But I don't see Sony trying to be like, we need our next Fortnite. And I don't see, it would be ridiculous if they would be like, Factions is the next Fortnite. Cause it's like, no, Factions can't even be the next PUBG. You know, like,
I don't want them to, because I don't know who they would do it, but I think that in the corporate level, the hierarchy level, they're going to Ryan and going, where's our money every 90
days? If that was
like,
the
where's
case,
our, where's our multi-transaction?
If that was
money?
The case, I think Destruction All-Stars would have had a bigger push.
Because it's shit.
No, it's not shit. It's okay. It's okay.
Now, everybody that I know that's played it says it's once you get out of the car, it's
terrible. No. Everyone I talk to likes it, but there's just not enough there to keep you interested in continuing to play it. But they would have put more time and effort into that, maybe put more money into that to flesh it out, as opposed to it was a game that they're going to charge $70 for. Thank God they had a second, a second to think about it. But
again, I'm not sitting there like they're just, and I know a lot of people that are listening to the show or watching us are going to hate me for this, but like, I think that Sony games could benefit a little bit from how Ubisoft handles multi-transactions in their games.
And I think what they're looking at is Ubisoft makes one type of game and that's what they're basically doing. But they just haven't figured out microtransactions quite yet.
Yeah, but I mean, like if they release a Far Cry franchise, it's going to be in the top 10 games for that year.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, most likely it will be.
And it has microtransactions in it. $1 is better than $0.
Yeah, I just...
You already know Uncharted 5 is going to sell 8, 10 million
and
copies.
And I think that's why they're trying to refine their assembly line to make that more efficient and make whatever it sells better for their bottom line. So they still want to focus on their like single-player games, which is good. I'm happy about that. They're just tightening up their assembly line so then they can get that profit to be a little bit more. Because I'm sure they looked at like the long process. That's why Days Gone 2 wasn't approved. They're like, Days Gone 1 took way too damn long. It sold well.
Yeah, and Ghost did as well, but just Ghost sold faster out of the gate. That's the only difference right now. Like, and I'm not demeaning either one of the games, nor the studios, nor the people that worked on them. But the only difference between those two is the rate of instantaneous return.
Yeah, Ghost sold well out of the gate. Ghost is a better game, too.
But I feel Ghost was marketed tremendously better.
It was. Sony definitely had more faith in Ghost than they did in Days Gone. And Ghost was better day
in
one.
In our chat, like Dave from Philly, the Destruction of All-Stars is awesome. All right. Have you spent any money on microtransactions? Because if you think the game is great, support the dev. And Michael does that on Apex. Like, he's like, I really am currently enjoying what I'm playing on Apex right now. I'm going to buy the season pass. Or Overwatch, you can dump real money into too,
yeah,
right?
But it was also a $40 game when it came out.
Right. So, but I mean, that's the, I'm not trying to like say anything good, that was the coup for Rocket League. Rocket League got its foot in the door. And they did all to get the player base. Fall Guys did the same thing to get the player base. And I guarantee you they saw the increase in their microtransactions because of that. It's the same reason MLB The Show is going to have some success on Game Pass, because the microtransaction money is going to be there. And it's just like, and I don't want it. I'm telling you, like, I don't want it. But in an Uncharted 5, you probably should be able to buy a different shirt for Nathan Drake.
Well, in a multiplayer component, they already had that in Uncharted 4. They had microtransactions in Uncharted 4. They just, Uncharted 4's multiplayer was like, not to demean it, it was cute. Uncharted 4's multiplayer was good, but it doesn't require you to actually spend the money on it, or there just wasn't like, no one wanted to really buy emotes in the Uncharted multiplayer. It was there for you to purchase. It just didn't catch the imagination. The games that sell really well, like the Fall Guys is an anomaly. So many games try to do what Fall Guys did. Fall Guys just came out at the right time.
So is Rocket League.
I think Destruction All-Stars was a good game. It just, there wasn't that much of a push and it wasn't ready yet. I think, even though it was delayed, I think there was like, Destruction All-Stars is one of those instances where it's just like they were trying to make it a $70 game and then last second were like, oh, actually, no, we're just going to be a PS Plus game. And also now we're a $20 game. So then they try to pack whatever they could microtransaction wise, probably would have been fine for them as a $70 game. But as a quote unquote free to play or affordable game, it just that structure just didn't work out for them because their decisions was last second.
I knew it was coming. Like, I spent it on PS Plus. Like, yes, you do. You don't play multiplayer as much as I do, I'm guessing. But, and you can relate it to Game Pass all you want. I spend, not comparing, I guess, but it's cost double or triple what you spend on Plus for Game Pass. So, like, the terms of what they're giving the money back to the developer, we've heard that, Rocket League being on PS Plus was a huge success for them. Fall Guys being on PS Plus was a huge success for them. For me, PS Plus is multiplayer with add-on stuff, with cool things that I get for free. To be honest with you, at the core, most of the PS Plus free games I don't play.
Yeah, I never hear you really talk about
I PS might mess Plus with games. Them. Yeah, so I don't play. I pay for Plus because I need multiplayer. And that's why I need it. When I first got Plus, it was because like Infamous was free. And when the Sony outage went out, there was some cool stuff they were offering with it. And it kind of just started reoccurring and it stacked. But, you know, Game Pass is Xbox Live for $60 and Game Pass for $120.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I have access to is tremendous.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think you need to spend money in Destruction All-Stars to support it. I think there's more issues with Destruction All-Stars despite it being like an enjoyable game just because of how they structured everything for that game. Because that game had a bad rap going into the launch of the PlayStation because it was a launch day game that no one knew shit about. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't market it outside of being like, hey, this one's a PlayStation Plus game. And then it just kind of went away. And then
they extended it because they're like, maybe enough if you didn't. I'm guessing enough if you didn't download it. So let's extend it because some of the players in there.
With your take on PlayStation Plus games, I don't add every PlayStation Plus game to my library because I don't care enough to do it. I knew enough about Destruction All-Stars that I was like, I'm kind of interested to test this out. But for other people that just ignore PlayStation Plus, like there wasn't really anything screaming like, hey, you should download this game from, you know, PlayStation and their marketing.
I would argue that over 50% of the PS Plus user base probably doesn't know they get free games.
When I worked at Target, I would be surprised how often people didn't know the games that were free for PlayStation Plus. So I wouldn't say it's 50%, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 10 to a quarter of people.
Because what happens is they buy their Madden, they buy their Call of Duty, or whatever that their friends are playing, and then they go to play online. And says, hey, you need to buy this. They click the button, they buy it, they're online, they go.
Yeah, no, I definitely have talked to enough customers when I worked at Target that had no idea PlayStation Plus games were available. Which is why we're also seeing on Xbox where they're focusing on Game Pass and not really Xbox Live. And they're probably going to get rid of Xbox Live eventually.
Xbox Live, I mean, Xbox Live games are garbage.
Oh, yeah, Games for Gold is trash.
Stuff that they've been, it's bad.
But I think that's them trying to incentivize you to switch over to the more expensive service. But I just put it out.
Yeah, and people were talking about Oddworld in the Facebook group the other day, and the fact that these games are getting the exposure like that, I think is great. But I look at PS Plus as like I need to spend $60 a year to be able to play multiplayer. And you guys can all read between the lines. I need PS Plus to play Destiny. If you want to say that, that's fine.
Do you know it's free to play now?
Like, yeah, but I mean the expansions. I think I don't even know how that works. And
you don't need Plus anymore, Dave. You need it for party chat, but Discord's better. All right, let's move on from this before we talk in circles.
You cut off on me. Sorry. Again, I laugh at the segment, but it's every week. It's valid. So, what's delayed? Deathloop again. Yep.
Deathloop is now
September.
Yeah, it is now September. It was coming out in May, so this is cutting it close of when they're delaying it.
Do you think that now Deathloop is supposed to be September, Ghostwire is supposed to be October, right? November is usually chock full of third party stuff. Ubisoft classic open world game, a Call of Duty game, you know, a Battlefield game, like that. That's probably going to be November. Where do Horizon and God of War fit in this equation?
God of War doesn't fit in this equation at all. I don't feel like they were being honest at all about God of War coming out this year at all. Horizon, I have a feeling, is going to be their March game. I think this could be an instance where Sony was just like, okay, we have nothing, but we have two exclusives coming to us that we paid money for. Let's move them into the end of the year to like cover us. And then I feel like this main like Ratchet will probably get delayed to August. just to like,
I was waiting. And then how do you feel about one PlayStation Studio game coming out in the year that your system in essentially in the physical year, your new console
I'm weird.
Launches?
I want games to be good. So I'm fine with it. If I was just wanted PlayStation games right away, I would probably be upset. But me personally, I'm fine. Take your time with Horizon. Take your time with God of War. I don't care. I will wait. There's plenty of third-party games that will keep my interest.
And again, before anybody jumps on me, I'll be in the same camp if we don't see Hellblade 2 and Halo this year.
We're not seeing Hellblade 2 this year. But I have the problem where... So I tier my Sony exclusives are day one purchases. Therefore, they take...
That means Returnal's a day one purchase.
It's not first... It's not a... No, it's not a...
it's a Sony exclusive.
No, but
exclusive.
It's not a first-party studio, so I should rephrase that.
I got you.
Sony first-party studios are day one buys for me every single time. No matter which game it is, I buy it day one. And that usually means I don't fuck around with the third-party games. I skip most Ubisoft games. I skip most EA games. I skip most Activision games. This year, because they're not going to have anything, I will finally be able to play some of these games that I've been skipping all these years. Probably not going to play any of the Ubisoft games, but there could be some like other games that I'm be more interested in. Ghostwire would be a game that I would probably skip, but now because there's going to be a lack of Sony first party games, it's got bumped up my list. So I'm fine with it because I don't mind Sony taking their time with their first party
games. Which I also think is going to be the same. There's going to be a lot of people that are thinking like you, and they're going to pick up Returnal for that exact reason.
This Returnal, if there was a Sony first party game coming out within like a couple weeks of it, I would have skipped. Now there's nothing near it at all, especially with Deathloop being delayed. I'm going to get Returnal day one. Just because I want something new to play.
We talked about it. We talked about it months ago of like, okay, now Deathloop and Returnal are too close. Who wins? Well, now it doesn't matter. Now Deathloop and Ghostwire are too close. Who wins?
Yeah, and those are the two Bethesda games that are now owned by Microsoft. So Sony's just like, fuck it. Who cares? They're exclusive, but who cares how they sell?
So there, in your mind, there's no chance for Horizon in August because you think Ratchet and Clank's moving to August.
Yeah, I think if Horizon was coming out, it would probably be their September-October game. I just don't have faith that Horizon... I think they like to have a March game. They like having that March game. I think that's going to be Horizon and God of War is going to be Holiday. We have not seen enough or anything really of Horizon for me to be like, yeah, that's this year. And God of War, all we've got is a teaser. A logo teaser.
We're due for another State of Play. There needs to be a State of Play before Returnal comes out with a more in-depth look at Returnal. Even if this is 5 days before the game comes out, a more in-depth look at Returnal, and then some more stuff with Ratchet announcing your delay.
Not a big delay. I don't think Ratchet gets like a huge delay. It's 2 months, three months.
Like I said, I did over under August 1st, like, and you were saying under, and I said over, like, like an in-depth dive of Returnal, the delay for Ratchet and Clank. And a date for Horizon. And, you know, I said it on Twitter to somebody else as well. Half joking, half serious. Date your damn PS4 game.
What do you mean?
Horizon's game.
I forget Horizon's a PS4 game. I'm still waiting for them to pull the rug on that one, too. And be like, nope, sorry, we lied. Or we thought we could, but we couldn't. I think we're going to see that a lot. Just like, there were people that were doubting me when I was like, there's going to be a lot of game delays this year. And there have been a ton of game delays. I feel like we will get that with the games that they promised that would be PS5 and PS4.
And again, I have nothing against Returnal. I'm just talking to you from a consumer standpoint of like Michael saying of like watching TV. Like I'm watching the Super Bowl or I'm watching a baseball game or I'm watching a basketball game or a March Madness and it's not there.
Yeah. And it's not like Sony's spending money on other things. You know, because they don't have anything unless they're saving
it. The PlayStation ads are there for the console you can't get.
Yeah. I almost wonder if like the console sales just aren't exactly where they want them to be. So they're just like, why are we going to advertise any games? Which is shitty, but that could be a possibility.
And like even up to launch, like what commercials did we see for Destruction All-Stars?
That's what I'm saying. Like that's why Destruction All-Stars.
I don't understand their marketing. Like I don't understand their marketing. And there's like in that Jaffe interview, they talked about these services that like predict review scores like 6-9 months in advance, and they're pretty damn spot on. And that also determines if they're gonna do their marketing budget. And I hate to say it, but I guess if you're looking at the trend of what happened with Days Gone, Returnal's gonna review at a 7.
Probably it would we would hope it's in like that 7 to 9 range, but we'll see. I have faith in
And if and Dave, like Dave from Philly put it in there, like if that, if those, and again, this is not me digging on Returnal. This is me digging on Sony paying for this game and their strategy for marketing. This YouTube channel that you linked to, I will check it out. I think you linked to me before and I checked some of it out. Why isn't this on Sony's YouTube channel?
It might
channel?
Be, but Sony's YouTube channel has kind of turned into a mess of just like every video game that comes out for the PS4 and PS5, they just throw trailers out on it. I feel like the PlayStation blog used to be a really good source for information, and it kind of has not turned into that. But we'll see. I think he's saying I'm, yeah. Okay. So I used to subscribe to the PlayStation YouTube channel, but it's just a trailer vomit at this point.
Yeah, you know what, and again, I'm going to use this game as an example because it's been on the PlayStation YouTube channel and it's been on the Xbox channel, and again, I don't know what it is. Whatever this Hood game is that's coming out, that's like a character-driven like night mm-hmm. game, it's getting enough marketing and advertising for the stuff that I'm looking at that I'm like, when I see another thing for it, I'm like, huh, like what are they talking about now? Like, and I don't know who makes those decisions or who doesn't make those decisions, but I feel like if I'm Sony, I'm shoving this PS5 only game in your face violently.
Yeah, like I've been always just confused that, like right now when I'm on Twitter, the most promoted thing that I get is the PlayStation Plus games for this month. But I'm not getting Returnal, or I wasn't getting Deathloop or anything. It was just here's April's PS Plus and here's March PS Plus because it was Final Fantasy and they're doing a big push. And it was like a big marketing push on my Twitter feed, my Facebook of the PlayStation Plus games, which seems to be more of a priority because that is like a service that they get a return on every single month from your subscription.
No, I get it. Like, and I'm fine with that. But I feel like if God of War was coming out in 2 weeks, like it would be all over the place. Yeah. All over the place. Yeah.
And that is, we definitely see that Sony puts a priority in their first party games, not necessarily their second party partnerships for exclusives for whatever reason. But again, we should probably move on, Dave.
Yeah. All right. So questions and comments you can send us using hashtag AskDigitalDays. Post them on Facebook, Twitter, any of those things using the hashtag. Matt Lowe writes, so if Mario was a carpenter in Donkey Kong, and the plumber race car. I can't.
So if
that.
Mario
I was gonna make
were
you
a carpenter in Donkey Kong, then a plumber, a race car driver, and various other jobs, why can't he just hang on to a job? Also, when is Nintendo going to release a real plumbing simulator for Mario?
I don't think a plumbing simulator would be very kid friendly in Nintendo's market.
It'd be a lot of shit, and I don't know if Nintendo would release a game with a lot of shit.
Wow. Okay, Andy.
It would be. It's a plumbing game. Like I don't. They've let people play with Zelda. Like we got like the Dance of a Necromancer Zelda game, which did really well. But I don't think they're gonna do a simulator job. And I'm pretty sure there's already like a Mario plumber flash game somewhere on the internet. He can't hold a job is because he's popping mushrooms way too often.
Oh crap! You know what? I jumped right past.
Well, we'll
playing,
do it after
right
questions. If anything.
Yeah. My bad. All right, Steven Wren, if money was no object, what car would you buy and why? I'm actually more interested in your answer for this because, wait, do you have a driver's license?
No, okay. I don't care about cars. One that moves and is efficient on gas, maybe an electric car. I don't know.
Yeah. And I put some of this in the Facebook group, one that I fit in. So it would probably be like a pickup truck, a truck or something like that. I really do like Jeeps, and my wife likes Jeeps as well. So if she could pick whatever car she wanted, it would be like one of those four door Jeeps. And she would always anytime the sun shines, she would open up every window and take the entire top off if she could tolerate it. She puts sandals on if there's no snow on the ground and it's 30 degrees. as long as there's nothing to get her feet wet or cold. But I mean, for me, it would probably be like a pickup truck or an SUV or something like that. I could just take stuff back and forth and not worry about it. If I go to the store and I want to buy something and I'm like, does it fit in my car? Like I don't want to worry.
Nothing
about
cool.
It, which is the exact opposite of what you want. So I can't fit in anything cool.
Sure.
Like, when I first was getting a car, when I was 16, 17 years old, I wanted a Jeep Cherokee, and I test drove like two of them. I sat in it, pushed the seat all the way back, put the seat all the way down, and went to sit in it, and my knees still hit the steering column. You were in LA with us. Have you seen me in Andy's car?
Yeah, I think I also did. You have a PT Cruiser you picked me up
in?
Even yep. that seemed,
and I can
yeah,
fit in that.
But even that didn't look
yeah,
like
but
it
I
was
mean,
great.
I sit a little bit too high. Yeah. I sit a little too high in it. But at the time of like, that was the best deal mileage wise car that I could get. My wife drives a Ford Edge. I fit in that great. But she gets the better car.
Yeah, and I think cars are boring. Like,
and then he just left chat to go to work. But Robbie Seifert asked using hashtag AskDigitalDays, do you think we'll see an Xbox Series and or PlayStation 5s being sold physically in stores by the end of summer? No.
Yeah, I don't think so, because this semiconductor shortage is no joke. And also, you know, they're doing pretty well off stores, you know, like online stores. Yeah, I think with the semiconductor stuff probably won't be fixed this year. So we probably won't get that. I think you'll be able to buy one this coming holiday. I think there's going to be a big effort from big box stores to have consoles in their store for you to shop in. But I don't think it will be this summer. I think they'll hold inventory for this holiday season as they welcome full capacity stores back. Dear God, we can't have full capacity stores, but yeah. They will do it. They will.
as an example, let's just say like Target, you know, purchases like a million units, like what Michael's saying in for the fourth quarter or for September. I could see a scenario where they do like they drip feed you like 400,000 of the units over curbside pickups and online. So like, hey, this will be available September 10th, October 10th, October 20th, November 15th. But then, you know, the ads that hit like, you know, going into the last 6 weeks of the year of like, you know, welcome back to the stores. We've got systems in stores for you. And they'll take the 600,000 and distribute them to the stores. It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to walk into a store and find one. That's not going to happen. Yeah. It's going to be all over the, you know, the Facebooks and the socials that, hey, Target's getting a drop shipment. They're going to put out 20 consoles at each of their stores on November 21st. And there's going to be a line out the door on November 18th.
Yeah. It's like, kind of like GameStop was doing. At one point, GameStop was like, we're going to have 10 PlayStations and 10 Xboxes in our stores, yeah. But retail will, they're going to bring Black Friday back this year. They let people have Thanksgiving off last year, but they ain't going to do that this year. They're going full on back with that bullshit. Yeah. And they'll be in store then.
All right. So because I'm so out of order, we're going to do what we're planning on watching. Sorry.
Do you want to go first?
Okay. You can go first.
So mine's pretty light. I'm playing, I dabbled in Final Fantasy 14 on PS5 just a little bit. Sarah's actually playing it on the TV next to me. 1440p is the way to play that game, because 4K, the frame rate is fucking trash. Oh my god.
too much stuff on the screen.
So the load times are better, the resolution stuff is better. They fixed the UI to the UI isn't running at like a lower resolution than the rest of the game. So it's running better significantly. By default, it puts you at 1440p, and I think that's where it needs to stay. It's also running 60 frames. They don't promise 60 frames consistently at 1440p. You have to drop down to 1080p to get the 60 frames. But in 4K, holy shit, that game like chugs real bad. It was like a instant like eye-inducing headache. Like your eye just twitched immediately and you get a headache if you play it in 4K. Hopefully they tweak that and fix that. Other than that, still playing Enslaved, hoping to record a spoiler cast for that. And also, if there's any old games you want me to review with someone else, or Dave potentially, if he dusts off his PS3, let me know some games from the 360 PS3 era you'd want to see.
That's Michael at digitaldaysgaming.com.
I dabbled with that Pac-Man 99 that came out last week.
That's another one of those games that I heard about it for like 8 hours.
Tetris is a better game than Pac-Man, and I think that's why you heard Tetris 99 for like the whole year, and Pac-Man, it was like, oh, this is okay, but this is Pac-Man, and I don't like Pac-Man. I'm not.
Well, hey, when you do your Enslaved podcast, you have at least one listener, Curry. Yeah. We'll listen.
So I don't like Pac-Man is what I'm getting at enough to play Pac-Man 99. Pac-Man's okay, fine, cool. If you're at an arcade and it's there, okay. And that it's okay. It's free with Nintendo Switch Online like Tetris 99. Whatever. I played Tetris 99 immediately after I played Pac-Man 99 because Tetris 99 is still alive and well. I'm sure Josh is pissed because I saw Josh was excited for anything new Pac-Man. And I'm just like, you like that?
He's going to just randomly pop in our Discord channel and just, excuse me,
he doesn't
sir.
Listen to it.
Get off my lawn.
If someone has to clip this and show it to them because he doesn't listen.
Look at that. You're going up and down in favor with Curry. He's like, I'll watch that. And it is.
I'm just saying Pac.
He's gonna get it. You're going to get a Canadian mad at you. How do you feel
Pac-Man
about that?
Pac-Man 99, I don't think is that good. It's an interesting concept, but it Tetris is better. And then I'm playing Astro Aqua Kitty. This is like, there's a game called Aqua Kitty Milk Mine Defenders that was on the PS4 and Vita back in the day. Mm-hmm. I interviewed the developer for this game that will be on the feeds either this week or early next week. It reminds me of kind of like a Gravity Crash sort of experience where you're controlling a ship and you're basically shooting like alien monsters and going through asteroid fields and just kind of mining your way through. There's some light RPG elements. I'd recommend listening to the interview that we'll post up soon to get more details on how that game plays. But it's a perfect like Switch game in terms of like for handheld mode. And it's coming out to,
I'm waiting for Angela to pop in the chat and be like, what in
I'm editing it, don't worry. And then it's coming out for Vita this week, Vita and PS4. So that's nice. Part of the reason why I wanted to do the interview, just to be like, hey, let's talk about the Vita. So wait for that to come, and I'll probably talk more about Astro next week because I've only got like an hour or two into it, so I haven't gotten super deep into it. What are you doing?
You watch anything? Or?
Nothing of interest. Like Winter Soldier was good this past week, which I think I needed.
It's only like two episodes.
I know.
Left.
it was definitely one of those things where I was waiting for the series to like pick up, and it picked up, and I'm interested to see how it's gonna go and where characters go. But that was really it. Finished watching the Nana anime, which I watch like every year. So watch that. But that's it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I did a couple, like, for watching. I mean, I watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier, watched Mighty Ducks. We finished that one, I can't remember the name of, Something Springs, that's on Disney Plus as well. And the playing, I went back to Immortals, Phoenix Rising. I had kind of forgotten that they did some season pass stuff. In the classic, like, what Michael doesn't like, the classic Ubisoft fashion of, like, here's a game, and here's the gold edition and the silver edition.
Yeah.
And, so there's an expansion thing. The season pass is, like, $40. Ubisoft sent me a code, just for full disclosure. I had the code in my email for, like, 6 weeks and didn't redeem it. I'm bad. So there's a new god, which takes place immediately after the events of the main game, which is... essentially like a temple, almost like a temple rush mode. It's a whole bunch of just puzzles. So if you really liked the temple aspect of Immortals, Phoenix Rising, like this is, that's for you. I didn't really have the mindset for that. I played it for like half an hour and I'm like, I'm going to check out the other one. The other one is, and I'm blanking on the name, Eastern Realm or something, like Immortals, Phoenix Rising, Path of the Eastern Realm, which is a new character. It's taking place in like the Japanese culture of you're dealing with a couple of gods. The gods look very reskinned of the gods in the main game, which is kind of irritating. But at the same time, this is part two of a $40 expansion thing. I don't really know what people were expecting, but it's you know, new dialogue, new interaction. It's only like 5 hours. It's probably more than that if you do all the stuff. I already found myself running into that problem of like, I'm going from point A to point B and I'm like, oh, there's a thing. Like, oh, there's a thing. And next thing I know, it's like, I'm like, I'm trying to finish. I want to play the story. So that's really good. And there's supposed to be a third one coming out, which is another character that kind of ties in and starts working with the Phoenix character. So I don't know the date on that. This other one just came out like 2 weeks ago. So I definitely, at its core, if you like it, like each piece, if we're talking about maybe, you know, $12 to $15 things, if each one of these things is like 5 to 6 hours, I think it's worth it. Like, I think it's cool. So if you, and it's just more Immortals, like they're not reinventing the wheel. They're not doing anything different. It's just more. Immortals was one of my top games that I played last year. And this was just more Immortals. Like, I got up in the morning and I wanted to play it and do a couple things and do a couple puzzles. I enjoyed it. It's fun. It's more of the same. You can call it a glorified reskin if you want, but I don't have a problem this thing, you know, as this being part two of a $40 in addition to thing. If you can find the gold, if you haven't played Immortals yet, you should play it. If you can find the gold edition on sale for anything less than like $50 for this edition, I think it's a must buy. The game has been $20 to $30 a lot lately, and I don't think it's the gold edition. But if you haven't played Immortals, like, you should definitely check it out. That's pretty much been it.
You're avoiding Outriders for the most part, right?
I every time that I decide that I'm gonna think about trying Outriders, first of all, the first problem I'm having with it is that I never got off my lazy butt and played the prologue on the demo. I played it on PS5, and then the Game Pass thing happened, and I was like, oh, I just need to play the demo again. I was like, I can just play a different class on the prologue, and then once you get past that first 4 hours, even if you start a new class, you don't have to do the 4 hour thing. And I don't have any, for whatever reason, I haven't been motivated to do it. And then, like, it happened again today. I'll be thinking about Outriders. I'll open my phone. I'll scroll through Twitter, and I'll see their Twitter account because I follow them. They're like, oh, we're working on the inventory wipe bug. You know, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I just, like, if like, there was already something that felt off about that game when I played it. I talked about it with the demo that I was kind of on the fence about it. And then I'm like, oh, Game Pass, cool. And then the server issues at launch, expected. You know, anytime you build an online multiplayer game that doesn't really need to be online, you always have server issues. And then the stuff that it hasn't happened to anybody in our community, because I've posted a couple things in the Facebook group about it, and like, oh no, I'm having Randy's having a great time with it. Randy's poking me to play. Johnny's beating the damn game. He's bugging me to play. Wyatt said he'll make another character and play the game with me, and I just haven't got off my butt to play it, because one, if that inventory wipe happens to me, I'm done. Like, I'm not playing. Yeah. and then two, I just am dragging my ass on going through that prologue. I don't have any real reason.
Just time wise.
Other than when I was going to actually think about playing it, my youngest son had a friend sleep over, his cousin sleep over, and they wanted to play Roblox, and it's on my so the Xbox ended up in the back room, and again, I'm too lazy to move it back to the front and plug it back in. So I am avoiding it, but I'm not avoiding it, if that makes sense.
You're waiting for it to be the best it can be, which will probably be the next patch.
So I'll play it in like 2022.
No, these are going to be patching fast enough.
No, I know. It's just, but like, and I love their transparency of like what they're saying, but like sometimes they're like, hey, we're diligently working on the inventory wipe bug. I'm like, stop saying that.
The next time you talk about this, it should be, we finished and fixed that issue.
Yeah. Like, the Reddit thread is the best place to go, and you go to the Reddit thread, I lost all my stuff, and like, and I know only the bad people are saying the stuff when it happens to somebody. The person's not going on, they're like,
the person enjoying the game,
doing a great job.
The person enjoying the game is enjoying the game. They're not on Reddit complaining.
It has, like, a couple of the streamers that I follow and pay attention to, YouTubers I follow and pay attention to, they're all loving it, they're all raving about it. I just haven't had the time to sit down and dedicate the time that I want to it. All right, so a little out of order. That's 100% my fault. Sorry if that triggered anybody. You can just send that hate to me. We appreciate you guys listening. Patreon.com/DigitalDaysGaming. There's a Mighty Ducks episode there. There's a ton of other stuff. A couple of you guys changed some of your Patreon tiers this week, so thank you so much. That's a huge help. Stuff happens all the time. Like, if somebody messaged me like, hey, we had to change it because, you know, I bought a house. Awesome. Congratulations for buying a house. I understand that every penny needs to be pinched when you purchase a house. Like, that's awesome. Please do not support us because you feel obligated to. Please support us because you are financially able to. At the same time, somebody messaged me like, hey, I've been working a bunch of overtime, I upped my tier, thank you, appreciate it. It's there. If you want to use it, use it. If you don't, you don't. Like, it's fine. So there's a bunch of other links and other things there in the show notes. Join the Facebook community. Join Discord. You can get a little bit more active in Discord. You know, like follow us on Twitter at Digital Days Pod. Follow Michael at The First MJC. You didn't talk about WrestleMania at all.
Oh, yeah, WrestleMania happened. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair had the best match, and that was night one. Night two was good, but it just wasn't, I don't know. WrestleMania this year, even though it was in front of a crowd, finally, it was a good show, but I don't think there was like too much stuff to talk about. Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks
had
the best.
Did I see it? Did it have a rain delay?
It had a rain delay night one, yeah. And that was scary because, you know, if stuff's slippery, people can get hurt. But luckily, everything went well. But yeah, the only match that I would want to talk about is Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair because it felt like a perfect WrestleMania match. Everything else was like okay to good. But yeah, I completely forgot WrestleMania happened, even though it was just 2 days ago. That's what happens because like WWE did a thing where it's like every night from Monday to Monday was a wrestling event. There was not a day where WWE didn't have anything. So I'm just kind of
a
little burnt out because like WrestleMania is when I watch every show to catch up because I don't watch week to week. But yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like how I feel like opening weekend of like the NFL and college around the same time. It's like, okay, you know, NFL game on a Thursday, college, big college games on Saturdays, big games on Sundays, big game on Monday. Like, I'm like, I'm football.
Yeah, yeah. By like week two or week three, you're like, I'm watching my team and that's it.
Yeah.
I'll go back to just watching NXT after this week.
Yeah. And you can follow myself on Twitter at GoodDaveHunt. Again, Facebook group, Discord stuff, it's all linked in the show notes. Check it out. And if you follow us on Twitch, thank you. If you subscribe to us on Twitch, thank you. And keep moving forward.
Don't be a dick. See ya.